Welcome, fellow anglers, to the Working Class Fishing Podcast, a place for all anglers, amateur or expert, to share their stories and learn about fishing. Join your hosts, John and Brian, each episode as they debunk the perceived inaccessibility to fishing, break down the barriers of any and all angling methods, and hear stories from other anglers and their own journeys with fishing. Now, let's get this show started.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Working Class Fishing. I am John Morris. Our other host, Brian, is once again spending time with his family. It's the weekend, and that's what he should be doing, but I am not. So this episode of Working Class Fishing is brought to you by CD Fishing USA, Angry Rooster Fly Company, 317 Flies, Sure Cure, Naughty Tackle, Lidrit, and Anadromous Fly Company. Go check them out. They've all got stuff for you. And we appreciate hearing feedback. And everybody, we've got two dudes on tonight, two super chill dudes from PA. Been talking to them for a while. They're doing a lot of really awesome stuff in the fly fishing world. And I just want to welcome Alex and Mark. Dudes, Alex is Hand Tied Market on Instagram, and Mark is Slow Roll Rod Co. Dudes. 9 seconds. welcome.
There's only one rule on this podcast. You almost broke it.
Yeah. I did.
We have one thing, man. One thing.
Yeah. One job. One fucking job.
I take it. We're past the 9 second mark. There's an F bomb.
Yeah, dude. For real, thanks so much for coming on. It's really cool like that we got this worked out.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure you space us out a few episodes from that Kelly Gallup. That's a tough act to follow, so.
So, both you dudes are in PA. How did we all end up kind of being in that same
area?
Same social media space. So Alex, you run Hand Tied Market. Tell us a little bit about that, dude.
Sure. So I probably had, I guess, the idea for the page and then a little bit more back earlier in 2022, I think around like February or March. I don't really sell flies myself. I've sell flies to Mark and some other friends, and trade flies with a lot of people and things like that. And was kind of, whenever I need something that I don't tie, I tie my own nymphs. I don't really tie dry flies. I tie a lot of streamers. But most times I just hopped online on social media, primarily Instagram, start searching for stuff to purchase. And I was like, there's really not one platform where all these people are together. So initially the idea was to just kind of get something set up where, specific to the sport, where people could log in, set up shop and go ahead and sell. But that seems to be a bit off more than I could chew in the meantime. So it went to Instagram. And actually that's how I connected with you. I really was started just like prospecting tires, and you were super welcoming and quick to respond. And we started chatting, and you let me interview you and write about you. And you certainly helped my page get a little kickoff there. But that's how we initially connected, and that's a little bit about Hand Tied Market.
Well, dude, I think it's a really awesome notion. First off, that you reach out to a lot of tires, like me and a lot of my friends, and I just think that's awesome to do that and shed a little, light and story on all these guys.
Yeah, so a couple of things I've realized with it is that I really like to write. Like these little blog pieces, not sure if anybody even really reads them. I think a lot of people are most impressed by the work they see on the page, which is all you folks, all you tires, you vendors. But if anybody is reading the bios, that makes me happy when we get feedback, or if I get feedback on, just the info, because that's what's most important. It's about the tire, how to connect with them, what they specialize in, their experience. And then, there's a million different ways to tie the same bug, and everybody offers a little bit different style and colorways or whatever it may be. And I think that's what's cool about kind of just scrolling all these vendors and figuring out who you're most attracted to and whose work is the best. And that kind of came out wrong, but I guess whose work you're most attracted to and figuring out who you want to purchase from.
Well, I think there's a lot to say. I'm not saying that like the dudes you highlight on there are the best or that I'm the best or any shit like that. But what I am saying is that the dudes that you highlight on there take a lot of pride in their work.
For sure.
I don't.
Definitely.
I think it's a really good space and to highlight these, you know, these tires and be able to, if you get anything from those guys, any of the dudes that Alex has put on the page, you're going to get a quality bug.
For sure.
So I think there's a lot to say about that.
Yeah, it's I've got a ton of stuff on my desk right now, putting together a boat box giveaway for the page. We just reached 1,000 followers, which is great. I'm so grateful for all that love so far. It's just been a couple months or a few months, but just like looking at the work, you know, as people send flies to put this together, which I'm really thankful for too. Shout out to everybody that's been spending bugs for this. The quality is crazy. Like as soon as it comes in the mail, like I said, shoot a message off with questions like, how'd you do this? What'd you use for this? Because it's just like, there's just everybody again has such a different way, just really small things. And you don't really see the detail until you place an order from one of these guys and get it in your mail slot, open it up and really understand that there is a difference when you're buying flies from somebody, a hand tied fly that somebody specializes in. It's absolutely worth hopping online and finding somebody that works for you and what your application is.
Dude, absolutely. I agree 100%. And Mark, dude, you are slow on Rodco, dude. Like you're crushing it out there, man. How'd you get into making rods, bro?
Dude, I was sitting there with my wife. I'm like, I want to make a rod. I don't know. So I'm like, I YouTube things. What the hell? I pretty good with my hands and stuff. I'm a carpenter as well, so I'm always building stuff. So I looked up a couple of YouTube things like fruit fly fish and stuff like that. And I started making rods. I just built something. And actually, it's right there. It's, you know, just a piece of plywood with some notches in it. And I used a book for tension for when you spin it, keep the tension on the thread. And I started making a few. And I'm like, the first few didn't turn out too good. I'm actually still using the first one I made. And it's still holding up, but it ain't perfect, you know. But, that's pretty much how it started, man. That was like, 4 or 5 years ago I started making them. And now it's a hobby, you know. But I like to make things for people and they appreciate it, you know. Try to take some pride in what I build, you know. Something that's going to last. Alex has been a rod from me as well, so.
Yeah, I'm a customer.
Pretty quality.
Yeah, I'm ready to be a repeat customer here pretty soon. I'll just tell Mark, but yeah, Mark made me a 3-weight. I think it's 7.5-foot 3-weight back in. Well, I think you had it made around April. I picked it up in May, and we went fishing with it right away. Yeah, and yeah, it's awesome. I fished it more than any other rod this year, just with having my. I've got a 2-year-old, and he comes out packing on my backpack, and yeah. That kind of reduces me to safe wading zones, like smaller creeks and brookie streams and things like that. And I've used that rod heavily. It's been through the mud and shit already. And it's solid.
Glass rods, they just take more of a beating, man. I mean, than a carbon or, carbon graphite. I mean, you could bend that thing to the butt and just, you know, I've closed my rod in a car door and it didn't snap, you know, but if you're using a carbon rod, I make carbon rods too. I have no problem with that. I'm just a glass guy, but I make nymphing rods, things like that. But the glass is more durable, 100%. So it just, it makes you a better caster and a better fisherman when you use glass. It's a little slower. You got to, you know.
You know, that's the same thing Russ told me too. And I thought it was so cool because, you know, I was talking to Russ, I don't know, maybe like 2 weeks before this, and then I was like scrolling through Instagram and we were following each other, and then I saw that you were making rods for Russ. I was like, oh shit, you know. And Russ was literally just telling me about the benefits of glass and why he fishes glass. So what's kind of like this attraction you have towards glass rods?
Dude, it's just the feel of a glass rod is it's you're like one with the rod, you know. I mean, that sounds cheesy as hell, but
no, it doesn't. No,
it's 100%. I mean, it's true. I mean, if you hook a fish on, you don't even have to strip set really when you're using glass. You know, people have to say you have to strip set on a streamer. When you're using glass, the flex of the rod when you set that hook, that's what I think. People disagree with me sometimes. When you set the hook, you could trout set with a glass rod, I think, instead of strip setting. You know, because the bend has the flex, you know. So, yeah, I made Russ a couple rods. He just sent me a few more blanks. So I'm making them a 10 and a 12 weight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, musky rigs, musky and striper. So.
Yeah, the biggest I've ever fished is a 5-weight glass rod. So I'm ready to, all my bigger stuff is graphite. So I'm thinking I'll follow your lead, but I think 10-weight glass, that'll be a big change for me. And
yeah,
I'm interested.
I mean, I have 8, 10, and 12s I use. I like the 12 for, you know, musky and bigger predator fish, you know. I cast, 14-inch flies, no problem, you know. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude, that's something. I've only cast glass once my entire life, and I sucked at it. But I didn't really know it was a glass rod until I was casting it. And I was like, whoa, this is so weird. But it's so much, the action is so much slower. It really does make you slow down, but you can make some really delicate and accurate casts with a glass rod.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, for me, it's always been synonymous with like smaller stuff. And I'm not really sure why. And like, I think when glass was like initially introduced to me years back, like it was, it needed a short, slow stick for like the small stuff. And I've always just associated with that. But then all you guys around here have been throwing that, like Jamie and Fallen Timber and you, and I know you were making rods for him. And
yeah, loves that thing, man.
Yeah, I gotta get in the game.
Yeah, definitely. It's different. I mean, I might be the only guy that, there's a few others that make Gray Wolf. He makes glass rods in a 10 weight. I think he uses the same blanks I use. But I like to use the ceramic guides because you're hawking them 450 grain sinking lines. You're going to need some ceramic guides or the recoils, they'll hold up.
But, so
with a heavy line like that really puts some wear on them guides. So the ceramic really helps.
Do you think do you use the coated ceramic ones that are like, that just don't knock the inserts out?
Yeah.
What's your experience with the ceramic inserts?
I haven't had any customers saying that they popped out or anything like that. You know, I haven't had any issues with that. They
Hell just
seem way better than like a regular snake guide. They hold up better, 100%.
Also, think like in the rod game at all, and like from a consumer's perspective, like people love to customize things.
Yeah,
that shit's so exciting to me. Just being able to like, pick your reel seat, pick your guides, pick your color, pick your wrap. Like, that shit's awesome. Like in any aspect, but especially for if you're getting your first custom rod. And I mean, my opinion is that your price is right, but the quality is insane, man. They're really nice rods.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. I try to do things a little different than everybody else, like kind of against grain with everything. My fishing, the way I do things. I don't know, kind of like a curse like a sailor and a trick like a fish. So I just try to have fun with it, man,
Yeah. Are you ever going to, you ever think that you'll like retire and transition to the bamboo game?
I'm talented. I don't have that much patience.
I feel like when dudes retire, like that's when you start picking up on shit like that. Like
yeah.
like the
Mark's got like 10 more years before he gets to that point, I think.
Yeah. I'm old. I'm already 40, man. I'm getting up there in age, so I might be. You know? Old haggard man here.
So, Alex, dude, how'd you get into fishing?
So I've always been fishing on like gear, just trout and smallmouth in Berks County. I'm from Reading, PA. And we're right off the Topolhocken Creek, which is a pretty good trout fishery. It's mostly stocked fish right now, but there's always holdovers, which are fun to catch. And then there's some feeder creeks that run into it that hold some really nice wild fish too, but it's not too often that you're going to catch wild trout in there. But nonetheless, it's really, really scenic. It's nice to fish there. So I grew up fishing that. I don't fish it too often anymore. But anyway, when I went to college, a few of my friends from Berks County, from Reading, they went to West Virginia, and I would see them on Instagram catching fish on fly rods. And I don't know if they'd, I think a few of them had started doing it before they went to school there, but they really started fishing a lot in West Virginia. And I would just, you know, see these pictures and see their videos and their outings and their trips. And I was like, damn, that looks like something I'm interested in doing. Friend of mine, Ryan, he had come home and he'd actually moved back to Berks County. He had gotten a job here, and he's a really good angler, really good trout fisherman, outdoorsman in general, super knowledgeable guy. And I've always kind of leaned on him to like get me into this kind of shit. And I was like, what do I got to do? How do I get started? I think he just kind of steered me towards a Cabela's kid at first. And then he, you know, it kind of created a monster from there. Just like, that was it. Just, I think I fished like a woolly bugger for like the first like 6 months. Cause that was it. That's all I knew how to do. It was just like, yeah, like cast a single fly. My leader was probably all fucked up. All different lengths and sizes. And then I don't think I caught a fish on the fly for like the first 4 or 5 months of fishing. And that was back in 2013. And then that was it. I'd fallen in love with it. I was really obsessed with it. I kind of fell out from it for a couple years and then really reconnected with it back in like 2019. And just since then, it's been worse. That's when it's been like heavy tying flies. Then I got into tying streamers. I was hot on musky for a while, and then I was like, what the hell am I doing? And now here I am again chasing musky with Mark and Mike from Ray on the weekends. It's like, so I don't know. Now I'm in deep, but that's how. It literally just seeing other, yeah, my friends were in West Virginia, and I was like, I've got to get in on that. Then it was all trout for a while, and that's really shifted.
What about you, Mark?
Fishing. I started fit my dad, everybody, you know, my pops took me to I used to live in Jersey. It was called the Gas Works. It was like a lake or a pond. I caught my first bass there. I got a picture of it. I got the long socks up to my knees. that was my first fish I ever caught. I think a spinning rod or a worm or something like that. But fly fishing wise, my first, my pops took me to a TCO, the fly shop, local fly shop. Took me there. I was like 12, 10, 12 years old. Got me, you know, set up there. I think I had a Sage fly reel. I forget what the rod was. And we went on vacation up in the Bahamas. And it's a crazy story, but I'm fishing. It was like a nude beach. We went on vacation. We didn't know. I was with my family. I was like 12 years old. And I'm walking down the beach and I'm like, oh, there's a flat there. Let me try, you know. I got some flies at TCO beforehand because I knew I was going out there. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So we're bone fishing. And I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna catch a bonefish out here. Out there, wading out there. I hooked two. I got two in, you know.
No shit.
Yeah, I couldn't fucking believe it, man. It's a crazy thing, and I see schools of them. Actually, I cheated. I had a fly and I put a piece of squid on the fly. I casted it out there, and my third one, I hook up, I'm reeling the thing in, I get it up to me. I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden this dude with rope hanging out freaking runs out. He scares every fish on the flat. There's chicks with like fucking, it was like they were all foreign. They had like hair under their pits. It was a disaster, dude. Tits were hanging off the mess. But
so many opportunities.
On the flats, and that was it for that.
There's so many opportunities for like jokes right now. I mean, rod jokes and
Dude, that was my first experience with a fly rod. That was it.
Dicks out for bonefish. Just so many things going on.
Yeah. That's the only time I caught a bonefish. If some dude was awesome. Hanging out, comes running out, scaring every fish on the fly.
Crazy. Thought you were going to say it's the opposite. Fish started eating after that.
Yeah, but I mean, I stopped for a while. After that, I my pop said we did a lot of fishing up in Lake Ontario. We got a place up there. We do a lot of downrigger fishing for salmon, you know, lake trout, steelhead, things like that. We do pretty good up there with that. But I pretty much grew up on the Salmon River fishing up there. I didn't fish much in the river, mostly in the lake, you know, with the boats and all.
Yeah. But
now I fish for muskie and browns pretty much, some smallies in the summer.
Yeah, but that's not bad, dude. That doesn't, doesn't sound like a bad gig to me.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's what I live for, really.
Yeah.
So are you guys like Western PA then?
No.
We're
east.
Oh shit.
We're east.
So my family's from Elk County, Pennsylvania. My dad's side. He's one of 10 out. That's like, it's more north central PA, but I guess it's considered northwest PA. It's definitely on the western side of the state compared to us. My opinion is that that's the fun side of the state. There's, I don't know, as soon as you like get out the state college area, we got it pretty good over here, don't get me wrong. I'm making it sound like we're disadvantaged. We're not at all. But
dude, I think we're better here. I mean,
really,
dude, there's some hidden gems here that people don't
know. That's for sure.
You just have to explore it, man.
Yeah. I think we're still in this spot, at least in like our at like within 50 miles of us, that the shit that everybody knows about isn't that good. And then the shit that, and again, that's why, like, whenever I'm talking to Mark, or I've got a few other friends and a couple friends that guide around here in PA, it's, even though it goes without saying, it's always like, you keep your fucking mouth shut about this place, okay? And it's like, I know. It's like, yeah.
You tell one guy and the whole, it's a plastic hatch all over, you know, the whole river is covered with kayaks and fucking tubes, you know? So,
yeah, you know, it's crazy. And I guess that makes sense. I mean, most of the places that are kind of blown out are blown out because everybody fishes them, and that's why they're not so great, but.
And I think COVID had a big thing to do with the majority of people fishing.
Yeah.
You know, recently.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
Since
I mean, so it's good. I just mean it's brutal for like some of our local spots. I think it's good that people found interest in the industry, for sure. Yeah.
It's definitely the industry, you know?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Sorry, I was getting my thread started. So, oh shit. You guys went out not long ago with Mikey B, and dudes, I got to hear that story. Like, I heard you guys were talking about it a little bit beforehand, but I've got to hear that story.
So this is, again, I can't name the spot.
We told you to go there. Who gave you the spot?
For one, the reason that I'm not saying the spot is because literally my most recent text from Mark last night was, I will kill you. And no, I'm just kidding, but I'm not. But so Mark was in the boat. He was in another boat. So Mark and I both have rafts. I'll let Mark talk about the rafts that we have then. But Mike just had a second kid. So Mike's already busy. Everybody's busy. I'm busy. You know, it's hard to get like a good crew together for a float. But the stars lined up for us this past weekend. We got Mike out. So it was Mark and another guy, and then Mike and I in my raft. And Mike got hung up. We lost the fly. It was a good one too. And we're fishing with a muskie rig. So we're doing everything we can to save these flies, but also, you know, there's a break point on his leader setup, but it's not an easy break point. Our rafts are small. If you're in a heavy flow, it's not easy to save yourself, let alone the fly sometimes. So we cut bait, whatever. Mike's retying the whole thing. I mean, he lost his leader up to the fly line. So he's retying. kind of bummed, but it's still pretty early on in the float, so it's like whatever. Mike's got, if you guys follow Mikey B on Instagram, if you don't, it's worth following him
there.
Yeah, if you can see these bucktail, if you were looking at this on YouTube, look at these bucktail posters.
You need my logo, man. He's the man. Yeah.
Yep. Fantastic design. Graphic designer, does logos, does things like that, but also really, really, really talented fly tire, ties big stuff. And anyway, Mikey's got a bucket of flies, so he's not too concerned about it. Long story short, Mark's telling us, or we called you guys to see how far ahead you were. And Mark is like, hey, just so you know, you can see it's skinnier, relatively speaking, not skinny, but skinnier than the rest. Like some sections are, 13 feet. So he says downsize. So I have trout and bass flies and Mike has the musky flies. I reached into my box and just grabbed a game changer, a feather changer that was actually tied by Luke from Bronze River Fly Co. He sent me earlier in the year, another guy to check out. Like, really, I mean, he just is so spot on with his changers, are insane. They've got to be my favorite to look at and to fish. But long story short, Mike throws that on, and I was telling you earlier, John, that Mike was screwing around just two-hand stripping, and we were musky fishing, but he's like I'm gonna two-hand strip this downsize, this smaller fly, and see what gets crushed. And no later than two or three casts, he just gets scooped. So we think it's a smallmouth, just like a really big small. We can't see anything. The water's a little off color, and it's deep at this point. And the fish just comes right to the boat, and poked its head out. We got to look at it. It was a huge brown trout. It just came in around, I would say, 2 feet. Yeah, I mean, and I'm
being 26, dude, at least.
Yeah, I may be. I'm being like.
I think you're being modest here. That was.
I think I'm being modest. That thing is big.
That was a giant fucking fish.
Dude. On the long arm in that fish, man. He didn't have the tiny.
He didn't. Yeah. So like, when that thing ate, and once we realized what it was, like, and once we got it in the net, we realized like that he just caught an enormous. I mean, that was the biggest brown trout that I've seen in person. And other people are blessed to catch those things every day or every week, but for us, in at least in that, like, that's a nice surprise. And yeah, we were hyped, man. Mike was hyped.
That don't hold trout. They're not supposed to hold trout.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I try to fish places that don't hold trout and find them, you know?
Yeah, dude, that was a big fish. Yeah. But shout out to Mike. He got it done. That was the first, I just finished this raft. So I just built a frame for it. This is the first fish that I've gotten in the boat. Just cause we've been musky fishing and I don't know, it's not like we're just out there nymphing for trout. You know, we're out for the big shit, and Mikey sealed the deal real quick. It was awesome.
It made the day, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because we all got skunked.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, God forbid we didn't lose that first fly and like have to retie and park. I mean, that it led to that, and that's just kind of like a testament. Everybody's got stories like that, but you know, it's easy to be out there and get super frustrated, especially like when you're putting an hour into a bucktail 12-inch, you know, streamer, a glider, or whatever that he was using, and it's like. It sucks, yeah, but you got to think, like, sometimes that turns out for better scenarios.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little blessing.
Never know, man. You never know.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, that's why.
That was unreal. Like, I'm seeing all this, and I'm seeing all you guys tagging it, and I was like, holy shit, that's a fucking.
That's a big one.
Dude, yeah. That was a giant fish. Like, did he, is he going to get a mount or anything, or is that just like.
Nah, probably not.
Nah.
That cheap bastard.
we actually ate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, you got we're certified fish killers.
Like, I know that river rained shit out of that river, man.
Yeah.
He died the next day.
Yeah, I was really, really fucking excited actually when that happened.
You sent me the video, the picture.
And then the day was made, at least for me, and I that was so satisfying to me. And then about an hour later, we got hung up again on a down tree, and I was leaning over to kind of like help the scenario. My phone flies out of my waders into the river, and it's gone.
Yeah,
and I no longer have a cell phone.
Belly after a shore lunch, you know.
Yeah,
you have a shore lunch every time you float from musky, man.
Yeah, that was nice.
That's the only thing you can really look forward to.
Yeah. Drinks and food. That's all you can look forward to. And sore arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. We probably would have had more luck putting one of those sausages on the end of our leader and catching a muskie that way.
That day, anyway.
So Mark, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so, like, what got y'all into the whole muskie thing?
I caught one. So I was fishing for bass in the same river you caught that trout in. And my buddy Chris, Corpse Man, what a name. So I pretty much, I don't know, I kind of, he wanted to get into fly fishing, so I took him out, kind of taught him. He's getting the hang of it now. He's really good. We're fish for bass. I got like I use 12 pound when I fish for bass, 12 pound. I just use the fluoro, 12 pound, fluoro with a fur leader, 12 pound fluoro. I'm using a dungeon. I'm casting out there. I'm getting a couple bass here and there. And all of a sudden, I was wade fishing. At my feet, man, this tiger muskie came up and smacked right at my knee. It almost hit my knee. And I got that. Yeah, dude, it was a beautiful fish too, man. So that started it, man. So I called Dan over at Muskie Fool. You can call he's the man, dude. You can like actually talk to him in person, on the phone or whatever. And he gave me a setup, that's before I started making rods and selling them. He said, dude, you gotta get this the Wolf Rod double haul 12 weight. So I got one. I actually still got it. I still use it. It's a great rod, it's a graphite rod. And he gave me the reel, the line. He told me everything, man. He's the man, the whole setup. And after that, I used that. I used a couple of my rods, caught a few, probably caught five or six after that last year, and I didn't catch one this year. So sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. I mean, that's how it started. So
yeah, well, that's so sick, dude. And Dan is an absolute, he's a real one, dude.
100%.
And so is Dave Huff. Dave makes good rods, dude.
Yeah. They are. Rods. I build rods, but I'll give props to him about. I'm not here to bust balls about rods and who makes this.
Yeah.
Rods are shitty. These guys are shitty. Dude, people make rods and they're good. I'm going to tell you that they're good. I'm not going to make shit up.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wish I had it. I don't know how I got into it. I just think I'm trying to fit in right now.
You're doing it.
No, a few of my friends used to do it really often and float the same river system that we were just on last weekend. And
I got to take it with them. Right back, boys.
Yeah, I would go with them. And I was in the boat for one or two. And I always thought it was really cool. But I'd never tied musky flies or anything like that. I still don't. I tie some like big bucktail changers and stuff like that, and I can go fish them, but I don't really know. I've never really pursued them like we have this year. And even now, it's just like, what I like about it is that my expectations are so low that there's just no pressure. There's no expectation to just go out and catch muskie. And I actually enjoy that. It's not like, I fished for trout for so long now. It's like, you have pretty good grip on it that you can kind of influence your day if it's not going well. But
muskies, if you get skunked, you got skunked. Yeah, it's normal.
Exactly. Right.
You don't feel bad.
Exactly. So I kind of like that aspect of it. But and now too, like with hand tied market, I'm trying to keep like this. For one, I'd like to plug that there's absolutely no preferred skill set. Like, if you want to reach out to me and let me post your stuff, and like, I know I'm walking this fine line of being some weird promoter thing, but I'm interested in anybody. I don't care if you've got 20,000 followers or two. If you tie flies and you're a vendor and it's hand tied stuff, and that's your game and that's your passion, please hit me up and let's talk. Phone, text, whatever. Yeah.
Well, so what's funny? Do you
small business?
There used to be an account that was very similar to Hand Tied Market, right? And I'm not saying this to be like, oh, we're not the first to do it, right?
I think I know who you're talking about too.
Yeah, but it's not anymore. And that was like a huge letdown because I was so stoked, you know, because when I'm super new to fly tying and fly fishing, like in all honesty, like, I mean, I've devoted like pretty much my whole life to the sport as much as I could. Like, I guided last year. I don't guide anymore. You know,
I do want to try it.
Dude, it's fun, but it's fucking stressful, man.
Yeah. What do you do if you don't catch a fish? Do you get their money back or half their money?
That's the thing. That was a question I used to ask guys, you know, like all the time. And
you try your best. You're not going to make the fish eat if they're not.
And that's the thing. You can guarantee that you're taking them out on a trip.
Right.
But you cannot guarantee fish regardless. No. There's only one guy I know that guarantees fish, and he guarantees up to 10. And if you don't catch 10 fish on his trip, he refunds your money except for the gas for the boat trip.
That's awesome.
Fair. Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
And he's only had to do that 6 times in like the 12 years he's been guiding.
Wow. So I went on my first guided trip this past year, and it was awesome. Shout out to SBA Fly Fishing, Mike Rosa and PA. But yeah, that was cool. He gave me the whole thing, and then we became friends from there. But my wife had hooked me up. She wanted to get me like a float trip for my birthday, and she was kind of just like, just pick somebody and I'll pay for it. And Mike did a hell of a job just like reaching out to me and swooning me onto his hooligan, and it was awesome, dude. So, and I mean, he didn't guarantee fish, but he was super optimistic, and like his confidence level as a guide is something that you know, I don't know what to compare it to, but like he's like, yeah, we're going to catch fish, you know? And I'm like, all right, like, you sure? And he's like, hell yeah, dude, we're going to have a great day. And we had a great day. Like, yeah, I love that confidence level and that optimism. And like, there's no like cranky bullshit if things aren't going well. It's like, you just keep chipping away at it, and then it comes together. But to me, like, again, I don't know what to compare it to, but that was a really great experience as like a customer initially. I was like, this was awesome. This is so well done.
And that's, you know, that's a lot of it too, is being able to, because at the end of the day, you're not really a fishing guide. You're in the entertainment business.
Definitely.
Right. I mean, to be perfectly honest. So,
took them launched online, you know?
You know, we were kind of joking a little bit about like, that's the only thing you have forward to look, that's the only thing you have to look forward to is the lunch when you're musky fishing.
Yeah.
Which isn't the truth.
Right?
But there's a lot of truth to that also, because that goes back to that whole, if you're not catching fish, then you have to do your best, especially for lunch. And a lot of times,
yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, that's
you need the stamina, fine. Man. You got to make it through the whole day. Your arm gets tired, you know.
You feed them. You give them the best experience you can. You be their hype man.
And wine and dine.
And that's pretty much it, dude. And if you catch fish, hell yeah. And if you don't, that kind of sucks. But if you give them a good experience, yeah, then it is what it is.
Appreciate it. They should appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
If not, then I don't know what to tell you, man. You know?
Yeah, it's like
the best.
It's weird too, like having somebody like tie knots for you and stuff like that too. Like that. Again, he was giving me the full experience, which I'm so grateful for. But it was just like, I got it. Give me that. It's like, that's pretty cool. That definitely makes life easier.
It does. But at the same time too, it's like, I prefer to tie my clients' knots.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's like, it's my gear. Typically.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. He was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, it's like that boat of confidence, because you don't know these people,
right?
To be perfectly honest, you don't typically know them, and you definitely don't know if they can tie a damn knot.
Get that trophy fish on there, and the line snaps. You're gonna be like, "What the hell, man? Is there not?" You know?
Yeah, and they're mad at you for that.
Yeah, and then, they're mad at you. You know?
Yeah, they're mad. The only way I could be mad at that is if it pigtailed.
Yeah.
You know, if it pigtailed, yeah, that's all my fault, dude.
Yeah.
But if it didn't pigtail, I hope you like your lunch.
I trust you not. Yeah, dude.
Sorry we didn't catch anything, but here's hot dog.
Dude, I most of my clients were super, actually, like, all my clients were, like, pretty young dudes. I think, like, the oldest client was, like, maybe, like, I don't know, like, 29. There's a bunch of young dudes, and I'd be like, hey, you ready to break for lunch? And then he'd be like, no. They just want to keep fishing.
Keep fishing. Like, yeah, they're paying, right? They want to keep fishing.
It's like, well, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I got to eat too, man.
Yeah, you know, but sometimes you'd have to get them to stop and just be like, hey, dudes, I know you want to keep fishing, but let's take a break.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we
just go sit down on the rocks and just eat and look at everything and just kind of take it in. And
see, that's half the fun, man. Yeah. I mean, just catching fish isn't, I get skunked all the time, man. I just like getting out, hanging out with people, enjoying life, man. That's it.
You know? For sure.
Fish is a bonus. Everyone's, I mean, that's cliche too, but fish is a bonus, man.
Yeah, I fish alone so often. So whenever we get an opportunity to do stuff like last weekend, like, I like fishing along too, actually, don't get me wrong, but that stuff's fun, like getting two boats in the water. Oh yeah, what I was saying is Mark put me onto Saturn Rafts, so shout out to Saturn Rafts.
Yeah, dude, they're great. Good price.
Yeah, man.
Dude, so Mark got me on Saturn now too. I'm literally about to
on you, dude.
Get in the game, dude.
Yeah. So dude, I dragged mine through hell. Like I posted the other day, I beat the shit out of my boat, man, and it's still going. I had to patch a few things, probably because my wife put a machete through it by accident. But I had a machete. No, she didn't. It wasn't because I did something wrong. It was a machete on my raft, and she moved it, and it went. And it went in. I had a Harbor Freight machete, and it didn't have a good case on it, and it popped it. Luckily, we were on land. And so I got a patch. I patched it, and anything is gonna pop with them, you know. But dude, those things, I drag it through the jungle, man, and they hold up, man. They're good for the price.
Yeah, so Mark was telling me about how he built his own frame for his, and he told me like what he paid for the raft itself, and then kind of sent me a link and things like that. And I got one, and I built my own frame too, and did that whole thing, and then. The whole time I was doing that, it was in my garage. So I kept it in the garage. I was so careful around it and like dainty and like vacuuming it and shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think at some point one of you guys were like, dude, just get it in the fucking water. Like,
yeah, God. Dude, what are you doing, man?
And now it's like, they're so solid for the price. I absolutely recommend it to anybody. Hop on boats2go.com and build yourself a raft.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind me asking, like, so I see the prices now, but is that a sale that's going on?
No.
It's always been that. Years, yeah.
I've had it in my raft 3 years and it's the same.
Okay, nice. I was worried about that because I'm about to be selling my my John boat. Yeah. But I was like, I'm going to sell my John boat and I'm going to get one of these fucking Saturn rafts, dude.
Yeah. It's a gimmick, man. They've been like that for a few years now, man. They're the same.
Yeah, if you need any help with frames or something like that, hit us up. Mark's got tips. And
ah, man, yours is better than mine.
For now, man.
Nicer than mine.
Dude, I ended up using like chain link fence posts I found at Home Depot. I searched our area high and low for aluminum, like aluminum tubing, basically just, I knew what NRS spec was. Like I knew the diameter and that's what I wanted just in case, like for accessories and things like that, you know, I couldn't find it. And then I found some company that quoted me it was going to be like $500 for like 20 feet. And I'm like, what? Then I went to Home Depot and found aluminum fence posts. And I think I spent $96 for like 30 some feet of it. And that's all I use. I built the frame with that and it's black and it looks really cool. And it's solid, man.
Dude, I'm not going to say any names, man, but some of these raft companies, I'm not like trying to, you know, dude, people make their money, man. They try and, you know, they try and play people, make their money. These things are on point with any, but for a quarter of the price that you're going to pay for if you have a little bit of experience with your hands, you can make a raft that's just as good or better to what you want. You know what I mean? For a quarter of the price.
Hey, that's
and they're solid. Yeah. You've done it yourself, so you have a little pride in it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'm an aluminum welder, so I was thinking like
You could go
far. I don't weld, but man, if I could, I would, you know.
Dude, yeah, you could put something sick together.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I'm kind of thinking. You know, I'm not gonna be like revolutionary or anything, but I wanna make it
start selling them.
Yeah, if you can like fab something like that, like I found a company called Frontier Play. They make fittings specifically for people that want to build rafts. And yep. same thing. They're like, you know, it's all relatively universal spec once you have like your piping. But it was like Legos, dude. I built it like literally, like I had no plan, you know, and the aluminum was cheap, so I knew if I fucked it up, I could just go back and just grab another set of it. But I bought a bandsaw, or I got a bandsaw from like a flea market. Actually my uncle did, and he let me borrow it, just an old bandsaw, and that was it. Aside from that, dude, screwdriver and drill, and
you can even use a hacksaw, but your arm's gonna fall off, you know?
The bandsaw made life easy. But full frame fishing frame, two seats, I got a Yeti front seat with a detachable thing, and I don't know, man, just literally winged it.
And then how good is it? They're great.
It's amazing, dude. Yeah, right? Solid too. Yeah, it's I can't imagine it, like, unless you do something stupid, it's going to hold up. I honestly
the one with the motor, you could put, it's like a, it's called a Kubota.
Yeah.
A 25 horse motor. And that would like a protector for the propeller. So you hit a rocks, it just dings off it, you know?
Yeah. The boats that we have are, they're the same dimensions as like the smaller Flycraft Stealth. I think they're like 12 by four. So Mark puts his on the roof of his you would have a 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just throw my shit in the back of my truck. It's no trailer, nothing like that.
They're 12 foot.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's great.
Dude, yeah, I'm super stoked to try this out. Like,
do it. Do it, dude.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and do it. Just do it. It's worth it. Best investment I ever made, man.
Yeah, Mark's advice too was spend money on oars though. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
I'm planning on getting some Sawyers.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good choice.
I do, yeah. I got the Kubota, the
Cataract. Yeah.
They're good too. So I got the two piece, so you can fold them up, put them in your car. You know, if you get the one piece, you could probably fit them in your car, but I like two piece.
Understandably. Yeah. I'm definitely looking at some Sawyers. I think I'm going to get like a flatbed and then put a roller on the back of it, not a truck, but a trailer.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I could get it up on, get it up on, because I drive an Xterra.
I do it myself, man. It's not too hard, man. I know what you're thinking, though. It's way easier what you're thinking.
Well, I just want to be able, like, if I have the availability to just like actually use a boat landing or a ramp, I'd rather just back this fucking flatbed down and then just dump it off the back with a winch.
Something right.
And then do what I got to do. It'd be a lot easier, I think, just to launch it by myself that way if I need to.
You can save your trailer yourself, right? You're a welder. You can make your own trailer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was so nervous to drag mine the first time. Yeah, I was like,
I said, man, I've drugged mine over rocks, fucking everything, man. And it just, it holds up, man.
Yeah. It's solid, man.
So they make the rafts for Flycraft. I'm not trying to like burn people, but
yeah,
they make the raft. It's the name, you know?
It was like the same manufacturer or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
I bet a lot of those boats come from the same places.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't doubt it at all.
Just like everything else.
Yeah. So what's some of your plans? Like, what's the future for hand tied market, and what's the future for slow roll?
My plan is, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Mark.
Nah, go for it.
I definitely want to keep the Instagram going. I didn't want to jump in hot and like, I got branding done when I launched the Instagram, and like I LLC'd it just to be safe. But I have stickers made. I did not want to do merch or anything like that. I just didn't want people to get the wrong idea. Like I said, I know I'm already like walking a fine line. I'm reposting. with my own little twist and things like that, showcasing. But yeah. Essentially, this is a page made up of other people's work. So I just wanted to make sure that I was doing that right and like holding true to that. I've had at this point a pretty good bit of requests for like merch. I don't really know if that's something that I'll dive into too fast. Like I might do a couple t-shirt drops or something like that. If people want to buy them, they can. If not, I just want to be able to like rock it myself and see my friends like wearing the little Spoolie logo.
Dude, I'd wear the shit out of Spoolie.
Oh, yeah.
I have it. So you guys have seen the stickers, obviously, but I have that logo and let just a bunch of different ways. So the guy that created it, or I thought it up and I told him, yeah, Zach Johnson Medlin with Gumption Design Company. If you guys have businesses, small businesses, fly businesses, whatever, you got to hit him up. Again, or Mikey B, I would say that both of them are insane for just, especially for just being in the same area. Their niche is relatively similar. They're both really immersed in fly fishing and they're extremely creative. But yeah, I want to get online, man. Like I want to have a website and I've been kind of kicking the can down the road now, but I've really got to get it going just so, you know, and hopefully nobody steals my idea before some rich guy, but just want to be like, I, you know, Etsy's great. I know that's, it's super, it's used, you know, universally, eBay too, but there's still, as of now, there's no, you know, if you could just set up shop and have your own page, I think that would be really cool. I'd love to get that going.
Yeah, that'd be fucking sweet, dude.
For sure. But right now I'm just going to keep writing. It's gotten a lot easier for me for the first, you know, few months. Like I was just prospecting like anybody that sold flies on Instagram or whatever. I would just like hit them with the DM and like, you know, learn about as much about their page and just shoot them a message real quick. I just sent so many. And for a while, you know, I got a lot of like skeptical questions, which makes perfect sense. People are like, what's in it for you? Like, are you looking for a cut? How do you structure your deals? Which, you know, makes sense. I'm sure that's a thing. And I was like, no, like nothing. I just want to post you. So that, you know, some people responded pretty well. Most people responded pretty well to that. I think I told you both you guys before, there's like one guy that was kind of like, here, what's wrong with fly fishing? He was like,
There's always one.
And it was funny because like, he's definitely an influencer himself. This dude's got like 20 some thousand followers. And I was like, bro, like this is your thing. Like you're a social media guy more than me, but I get it. Yeah, I totally get it. It's not always well received, but.
Yeah.
Uncrustables.
There's always one asshole, man, at everything.
But, yeah, but now it's gotten easier. So like people have hit me up very recently and I think I'm slacking. I never thought that you really got to feed the Instagram machine and it doesn't feel like work or anything like that, but I want it to be quality. I want to like take my time and learn about folks and connect with people. Now, I want to connect with people on the phone if I can. And some people are really weird about that still. They're like, can we just do it on here? I'm like, yeah, that's cool too, man. But I just want to be able to like learn about people. There's so much profound skill set out there. And like August, for example, like, you know, he's disgusting. Like he's so good at tying these big flies. And, I came across his page and, I know, you know, he just set up his Etsy and like, I couldn't believe it when he was like, oh, I just launched this page. And I was like, you just started this? Like you've been tying flies for this long. You should have been selling these things forever. And I mean, I didn't influence that at all. That's all him, but there's just so many people. I'm sure there's other people out there that are just disgusting on the vice, and it's like it's really cool to hear from them and learn about them, and you know, I'm so thankful that people allow me to post their stuff.
Well, hell yeah, dude. And I've got to say too, I'm thankful that you post their stuff.
Yeah, dude, I have a really good time with it. And you know, you realize like there's a lot of characters out there too, like some good people, funny, you know, it's just, it fills up your day with like-minded folks and fun conversations too.
What about you, Mark? What you got going on, dude?
merch. I think I'm gonna start selling some shirts and stuff like that, some hats maybe, you know, just to get my name out there. I'm not trying to get, you know, trying to be Orvis or anything like that, but I don't know. I just like, I'm kind of like against the grain. I'm sick of the old school, like old man rod company, you know, make plain, simple, blah, blah, blah. You know, I make one single wrap. So if you see it, there's a swirl in every wrap that I make pretty much. Instead of like, you know, you do two wraps, you start from one end from the other and start from the other end to the other. It's all one wrap. I think it's stronger. I don't know. People think I'm crazy if I don't do like two different colors in the wraps, which I can do. But I think it's stronger if it's one single color in one wrap. I mean, the epoxy helps, but people think I'm nuts because I think that's stronger, but I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be looking to get a rod from you sometime this year for sure, dude. You make some awesome shit, like for real.
Yeah.
And I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. So I'm pretty keen to try them out and get my first glass rod from you, dude.
Like I said, I can make graphite too, carbon, whatever you need, you know, whatever you're into.
I feel like you got to send it and get a glass rod for sure.
Yeah, I've got so many rods and zero glass. I have no glass rods. So.
Oh yeah, definitely then.
It takes a little to get used to, but once you get it, man, you might not want to go back to graphite, you know?
Dude, I've been told that by, you know, some different people. And I've got some shoulder issues and stuff, but it hasn't stopped me yet. You know, I'm still throwing 10 and 12 weights. So
it's less when you're throwing a glass rod, it's slower. So you're not faster. It's a lot slower and more, you know, fluent, you know. So definitely helps. Might be better for your
Yeah, I think so, dude. That's what Russ said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude knows what the hell he's doing, awesome. Man.
Yeah, dude, I made a couple rods for him. He's the fucking man.
Dude, he's so open with knowledge, and he's just such a genuine dude.
Sends me flies all the time. I use them. They work.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, they're the shit, man. Lines. Yeah. So he's a tester for scientific angler. So he makes, you know, test the fly lines. He sent me a few of them. So I get free lines, you know, he hooks me up, you know. So
fuck yeah, dude.
He's the fucking man.
He really is.
He's a good dude, man. Like you said, you know.
There's a lot of dudes like that in our space, you know. And I'm just thankful we've all had the opportunity to link up through social media of all places, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I just want to change the whole genre of fly fishing, man. Everybody thinks it's like you got to be all purist and all this bullshit and all got to be nice and this and that. Dude, go out there and have fun. Do what you want to do. Cast what you want to cast. You know what I mean?
That's why I like listening to dudes like Russ and like, you know, I remember like for the first time back when who does the Streamer Chronicles at Brian Wise or Fly Fishing the Ozarks.
Yeah,
he would like interview those dudes. Some of those videos are pretty old, but like CJ, Russ, Kelly Gallup, Alex Lapp is like dudes like telling their stories about
to
how
make a rod for him, man. Make
rods. That's pretty cool.
I'm like, oh, dude, this dude's calling me up to make rods for him. I'm like, dude, really? It was like, holy shit, man. You know.
But it's funny, like hearing them how like when that switch flipped for some of those dudes, like back on the white and shit like that, and they're like. Yeah, when it first time they go out there with like a 6 to 8 inch streamer and smack a 30 inch brown trout, and they're like, things changed after that. It's like, that's fucking awesome, dude.
Dude, 100%. I fish streamers 80% of the time, unless I'm dry dropper fishing. That's it. I'm not a nympher. I make nymphing rods, man, but I just can't get into it, man. There goes my nymphing rod builds.
Yeah,
but
you're a stripper, not a dipper, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but dude, these nymphing rods I make are pretty sweet too, man. But I'm just not a nymphing guy, you know. It's whatever. Dude,
I'm not really. I mean, I am, but I'm not like
fish. It definitely catches fish.
Catches the shit out of fish.
I talked to Marty. He doesn't live too far from us, Marty.
Marty's the fucking shit, dude.
He is the man, yeah. I was supposed to fish with him a few weeks ago, and I had shit going on, so.
Well, you ought to hit him up, because he just found some new water, dude, that's pretty fucking sick.
He wants the musky fish, so.
You should definitely take him musky fishing.
Yeah.
Because he's such a
fucking area. It's in his area, so he knows the spot. So
he's such a fucking trout bum, though, dude. Like getting Marty to do anything but fucking nymph.
Get it.
Well, I say anything but nymph. Like Marty throws streamers and he dry fly fishes. Marty literally does
everything. Like,
he does everything, but I still give him so much shit because he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do a lot of nymphing, I will say that. But that's, well, it's more, I do a lot of like dry dropper shit.
Catches fish? I'm not going to
lie. I haven't nymphed on like big stuff or bigger water in a while, but all spring this past year was.
Dude, bigger water, you got streamer, man. You got to cover ground. You got to get the depths. You can't stay in one zone on the bottom with a little nymph. You know what I mean? You got to cover some ground with some big meat.
Dude, that was the thing with me because the water I really like cut my teeth on was it's a still water fishery, dude. And I got so fucking tired of watching a bobber, dude.
Yeah, fuck that, man.
I was like, and then you know when I eventually started catching fish, I was like, fuck yeah. And then I was like, God, this sucks.
Dude, if I'm gonna bobber fish, I'll get a spinner. I got a spinner rod. You know?
Dude, I hear you.
Yep.
I'll get a fucking red and white bobber and I'll toss it out there and hope for the best, but
squirmy worm under a,
yeah,
a red on, and white bobber.
Yeah. It's like cheating.
Yeah, still got a lot of those in the box.
Yeah. Well, dude, that I'm not gonna lie, and they work. It works. But it's all about the eat. Like everybody else says, it's all about the eat, man. Kelly, Ross, they all sell it. Say it. It's. I'd rather have one eat all day or every two weeks than catching 30 fish.
Yeah, it's something like we don't have like profound like dry fly hatches. Like we do in Pennsylvania. They're not like locally. It's like whatever. So I don't really do much of that.
They're there.
Yeah, I don't know. My schedule.
All you need is a caddis. All you need.
Yeah.
The old El Clare caddis or the stonefly.
And trikos in the morning and stuff like that. And then it's just like, I just skip over all that shit. I'm like, fuck it at this point. It's just.
Yeah.
Dude, the only time I really don't throw streamers anymore is like if there is a hatch going on and I see someone like trying to fish it, I'm not just going to go like bomb streamers in the hole. They're trying to dry fly fish.
Yeah.
Even though I know I could probably pull fish out of it.
Dude, it's hard when they're concentrated on one insect. They're not going to hit a streamer, though. You know what I mean? If they're toned in on a caddis, they're not going to hit a streamer. Usually,
never know.
You never know, though. It's fish.
I don't know, dude. Like I've caught a lot of fish in holes where they're rising for bugs.
And you caught them on streamers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like no shit.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. That's what I mean. Like against the grain, man.
It was just so boring for me, man.
Yeah.
And Mark, even some of those like spring creeks in our area, like even on that three-way you made me, I'll throw dungeons on that thing and just be on my knees all day, just like throwing air, casting big flies, and the little guys are just crushing them there.
Yeah. Like I went on a spring, you know, I don't know if you guys know Burks on the Fly.
Yeah.
Dave.
Mm-hmm.
That dude slays everything in Burks County. So that's his deal. He wants to catch every trout in Burks County on every creek. I think I don't know what he's up to, like 40 something in Burks County. And he finds these creeks, man. I'm like, this thing don't even have a name, dude. And he's these creeks and there's wild rainbows, there's wild browns, and
they're like him. He's always like out there. Why?
Yeah. Like 50 wide, man.
That's awesome. Big,
and we seen it. We went the other day. There's a 20. It had to be 26 inch trout, rainbow. We saw a rainbow and a brown in this creek that was probably 4 feet wide, a spring creek. You know, with the grass and all that shit.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I use a dry dropper. It's winter time. It's tough, you know, but then I tried a streamer. I caught a small one, but we seen 26 inch trout just cruising around a four foot wide stream. It's nuts, man. That dude knows his shit, man. I fish with him a lot. He has a weird way of fishing, though. He uses a, it's like an indicator, and then he uses a dry fly, and then a nymph. But he catches fish, man. That's what I mean. Don't go with whatever works. Go for you. You know?
Dude, you just, and that's it, man. You just got to fish what you're comfortable with. And it might be the wackiest shit ever, and you might not know it's wacky, but, dude, just fish it.
If it works, dude, fish it. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And not, you don't have to get traditional with whatever everybody's doing, you know? That's why fly fishing is so fun, man.
You can literally do
it up a little bit, you know? Do it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure everybody's got that experience where they've like walked into a fly shop even and say, here's what I'm getting. They're saying, well, where are you fishing? What are you fishing for? You tell them, and they're like, we don't want that. And it's like, well, this is what I've been using all week and it's been fine. So it's like, I think everybody has those experience.
Another thing with fly shops, dude, you go into some of these fly shops and they're like, they actually don't know what the fuck you're doing. And I'm like, who the fuck's this guy? You know what I mean? Like, this guy's sitting in this fucking fly shop for fucking 6 hours a day. He don't know. He don't know shit. He goes to the same creek every day. I'm sick of it, man. It's got to stop. These guys get like so helping. Bullshit, man.
Dude, I'm with you, man.
You've seen that, right? You have seen it. Wherever you go, it's like, he knows more than you. Yeah, that's bullshit, man. You don't know. You don't know what I've been doing. He goes there with his collar shirt and his, you know. I'm not going to. It is what it is. Dude, it's crazy.
No, I mean, dude, I'm right? With you
100%. All three of us have seen it.
Yeah.
And some of them are good. They're honest and they tell you, you know. But some of them just give you the runaround.
Well, they give you the runaround until you open your wallet.
Yeah. Everything's three times over the price, you know, anyway. But
I mean, that's how it is, dude. I think that culture is slowly changing, though.
I hope so, man, because people have to learn, like, dude, this is for fun, man. I'm not doing this to, you know, to feed my family. It's a good time. I do it for fun.
Exactly, dude. It's fishing should fucking be fun.
Yeah.
Like we're not professional bass anglers.
Right? Even that, man, that gets a little crazy too. I'm all about that stuff, but dude, I've seen the boots and all this shit, and I'm all about bass fishing, but you know,
funny thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like the whole, I mean, hell, dude, even fucking new trucks. Dude, new trucks are like $60,000-$70,000 now.
It's nuts, dude. It's a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Everything is so expensive.
Yeah.
It's insane, dude. I got to stop buying materials, too. I need to go out and get
some. I don't know anything about that. I'll just buy them all for you once you build them. You make them for me.
Jesus Christ. It has come full circle now. I have too much shit, dude. It's crazy. I've seen your desk. I feel like I'm catching up to you now. I never thought I would say that, but I got a fucking problem.
Dude, I hope you don't catch up to me. I just stopped buying shit unless it's like the newest material I bought was ostrich hurdle. Like, that's it. Like, I've got feathers I've been using. I've slowly worked through, like, dude, I've literally got, I don't fucking know, dude. That's probably like a 20-gallon like plastic box that's full of bucktail.
Yeah. That's like awesome.
It's ridiculous.
You ever get like bucktail off the road and shit, like roadkill and shit like that?
Dude, I do actually. I process a lot of my own tails now.
Dude, yeah,
that's sweet.
Yeah, that's, I mean, awesome. It's cheaper, dude. Like,
yeah.
It's cool buying from friends, but the price of bucktail is not going down.
Yeah. That's sweet.
But dudes, we're way past time. And I don't even care because this has been fun.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Alex, everybody can find you at Hand Tied Market.
Yes, sir.
On Instagram, correct?
Yeah, up if we can meet.
Hell yeah. Mark, what about you, dude? Slow Roll Rodco on Instagram. You got any other socials?
That's it, man. I just do the Instagram. I'm going to start a website soon, but Just Instagram. You know, if you want a rod, hit me up. Make a rod. Hell for yeah.
Well, dudes,
be sturdy and good to go.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening up to this point. And I know we ran a little long, but we're just having a good conversation here.
Yeah.
Go check out Alex over at Hand Tied Market. Go check out Market Slow Roll Rod Co. They got good stuff going on. They're good dudes. And I just really want to thank you guys again for coming on tonight and just
thank you.
While we tie flies and mess with rods and whatever else. But
this is my first podcast ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm honored here, man. Never did it.
Oh shit. I don't know about honored, but it has been fun. And yeah, it's not as bad as everyone thinks. You know, people get a little nervous at first. And
I had to have Alex on here because I was nervous. So I had to have somebody in the mix with me. So
you would have got a different hand tied market if it wasn't dry January for me.
Yeah. That's not for me though. I'm not dry January.
I know.
Well, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Go check them out. And you can find us at workingclassfishing.com, workingclassfish@gmail.com for inquiries. You want to come on the podcast, hit us up there. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, the Go Wild app, all these places. We've got our YouTube back up and running. We've got blogs going on the website. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and we just really appreciate all the continued support and listenership. It means the world to us. And it means a lot to our guests too, because it helps get their name out there. Leave reviews on Spotify and Apple and all those places. Those help us tremendously. I don't know if you guys understand the gravity of how much that actually helps us out. So once again, this episode is brought to you by CD Fishing USA, Angry Rooster Fly Company, 317 Flies, SureCure, Naughty Tackle, Lid Rig, and Anadromous Fly Company. And until next time, everybody, eat your vegetables, and I hope you have a great day.
Yes.